Morning, Dr. Clark Ely is here this morning. He's superintendent in College Station. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being here. Yeah, we think about school not being open when the weather's bad, but, you know, when the weather's foggy, I guess the bus drivers have to even go in early then, too, huh?
Yeah, probably, to make sure we're using the windshield wipers.
One thing we don't have to think about if we're just parents. Wanted to bring you in. We had talked about having you come visit with us just about the things that go on in the College Station Independent School District. But since then, of course, the tragedies happened in Florida. That's been the focal point. I know that your board had a presentation about the idea of campus safety. But every parent has a different view. Every parent gets nervous about different things. Today, what would you like to say, basically, to the parents of College Station schools?
Well, Scott, I guess first I'd like to say our hearts and prayers go out to the families and teachers and educators and everybody involved with what's going on in Florida. When you have a situation like that, a tragedy like occurred in Florida, it really causes everybody to pause, parents and students certainly, but it causes us to pause and reflect on our practices and on what we're doing every day to make sure that we keep our kids safe. I guess what I would want our parents to know is that this is not something that we think about just when a tragedy occurs and we react to it, but it's something that we're very proactive and think about every day. We have a district-wide safety team that evaluates our campuses and our preparedness plans and our action plans. Each campus has a campus safety team that does that as well, and those teams have been meeting since the tragedy to reviewing their plans and talking about different options available to them. We get audited on our safety and security every 3 years. In fact, our last one was done last spring. We choose to bring in an outside entity to come and do everything from intruder assessment to looking at our plans to reviewing our drills. We drill with our students every month, and we take an all-hazard approach to safety. So we don't just have one particular thing that we can do based on the nature of the emergency. We have a number of ways that we can react to that. We've had a few parents who've gotten in contact with us, and we're listening to their suggestions and their concerns, and we are getting our district safety team together to process all that information.
Well, you know, one of the things it seemed like we even here locally ended up having a flurry of similar situations in that students made comments or someone got nervous about something. And there are a whole bunch of different circumstances for that, and I know the news media wants to report that, but at the end of the day, this is something that does happen in school districts. Kids say things. They may not have been inferred in a different way or taken in a different way, but this is an ongoing situation that you have, is it not?
Well, obviously you've seen it here locally, regionally, across Texas and across the nation. There's been a number of kids who say things that I'm sure at this point that they regret. But I think from a school district's point of view and from local law enforcement point of view, we have to take every one of those things seriously and investigate them fully. And that's why College Station ISD, we were encouraging our kids and our parents, if they saw something that made them feel uncomfortable, to report that to us. We had a couple of ways to do that. One, we encourage them to tell a teacher or tell an assistant principal or principal. And two, we have an anonymous quick tip line on all of our homepages. And so we're encouraging folks to do that. If you see something, say something. If something makes you feel uncomfortable, then we want to know about it because we want to investigate it fully and see if there, you know, is an incident or if there's not or something to be aware of. So,
hey, well, before we leave this, because I do want to move on to other things, is there anything that you've necessarily done to harden your campuses since this?
So we do a number of things already to harden our campuses, both from our security vestibules, making it one way in to our campuses and keeping our exterior doors locked. We have other processes and procedures in our interior doors for hardening, and we are looking at some different options on that and just evaluating those. So that's some of the conversations that we're having right now.
Hey, one last thing, I guess. You were using College Station police officers as your resource. Now you've moved to the county doing that. How is that different and from that standpoint?
Well, it's first of all, I want to say Brazos County Sheriff's Office has done a tremendous job with their school resource deputy program, and we love the relationship that we have with them. But it is, our schools are all in College Station ISD, so we've been working with both law enforcement agencies very well, and they've been coordinating very well on the various tips that have come in investigations. So it seemed to be pretty seamless, and I do want to say that I do appreciate College Station PD as well jumping on these particular issues and investigating them fully, and the Brazos County District Attorney's Office.
Sure. The Superintendent of College Station Schools, Dr. Clark Ely, with us this morning. College Station High School, built in 2012, Basic capacity of 2,400 students in phase one, classroom space for 1,800. Well, now you've got 1,900 without any portables there. Flip the coin over, and A&M Consolidated, about 2,350 capacity, but you got 1,700 students there. You're going to need to balance that, and you know that you are, and I know that this is something that makes parents really unhappy, and they pay a lot of attention to it, but what's the process going to be to get this balanced?
Well, we don't go into any boundary adjustment lightly, especially one that involves potentially moving high school kids. And so when the administration and board had those discussions over the last several months, we're going into this with our eyes wide open, knowing it's going to be a difficult process. I think the process this time will look a little different than it has maybe in years past. The board has directed the administration to go and bring them a number of different options, and for the board to work through the options that we present to them in public meetings. So how it differs from the previous process is we would get a community group together. They would work behind the scenes. They would come up with one recommendation and present it to the board. The board then would have questions, obviously, because they weren't involved in the process. And it would go, especially in a high school boundary adjustment, it would go over a number of weeks, and they would ask basically the same questions that the community asked, and we'd kind of redo the whole process again at the board level. So the board, and we really believe it's a more transparent process to bring three, four, to whatever it's going to be to the board and have them ask questions, send us back to get more information, to make adjustments of lines and things like that, in between these subsequent board workshops in full view of the public.
Why does it look like my congressional district, though? I mean, it looks gerrymandered. So what do you say to those people? I mean, why can't we just draw lines that look a lot more square than what they look like?
Well, when you drive around College Station ISD, you notice that in the northern part of the district is where almost all the multifamily housing is. And that's where we have younger families. That's where we have lower socioeconomic folks live there. And that's where we have a lot of college students. When you go farther south, where some of our newer schools are, you see more single-family homes, and you see more of the middle to upper-income homes down there. If you were to draw a line from east to west in the middle of the district, we would have vastly disproportionate schools when you look at their student composition. And the way we look at that is the percent of students on free and reduced lunch or economically disadvantaged. College Station ISD has a long history of making decisions to have kids go to school with kids that are from all socioeconomic backgrounds and all racial backgrounds, so that they have an opportunity to go to school with kids who are different from them. And so to do that, we have to move neighborhoods around to be able to accomplish that and increase our transportation costs. But it has been a long-held community value, a long-held district value to do that, and that's why you see kind of what you see right now.
So it's complicated enough trying to redraw these boundaries. Now we're going to have a charter school that's going to open up in College Station, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen other than to know that it's going to begin at K-8. But that can change these formulas that we're talking about as well. So discuss that for us.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why we are moving our boundary adjustment for our 10th elementary school, River Bend, until fall of 2018 after the school opens, so we can see how many students perhaps have gone to the charter school and from which schools, especially elementary schools. Charter schools, people get confused. What's a charter school? What's a voucher? What is a charter school? A charter school is a public school. They have to do the STAR test, state-mandated testing like we do. They have to have annual financial audits just like we do. What's different about a charter school, though, is they don't have a locally elected board of trustees like College Station ISD or Bryan ISD does. They get their charter from the state of Texas, and there's about a limit of about 300 charters that can be given out by the state. Because there's a limit to that, what the state has gone to now is awarding different locations under existing charters. So the group that's coming here has schools already in Keller, Eagle Mountain, Saginaw, Mansfield, Garland, Katy. They're building another one in South Houston area. And so they're basically expanding their district-wide charter. Their superintendent, I believe, is in the Dallas area. And so they have about, I think, 16,000 current students statewide. And we will be, or in this community, will be one of their newest campuses. Okay.
And, of course, these kids can come from Bryan, too. Doesn't have to be College Station. I want to circle back around to the high schools for just a minute, because I wanted to talk about, I know that they're College Station is the new shiny school. A&M Consolidated is not. I don't know how much that necessarily enters into the situation that we have here. But I know that you have some specific classes, technology classes, that happen at each campus. Go over those so we could understand that.
So when we, back before we opened College Station High School, we had a community group come together and say, how are we going to transition from one to two? What was very important for a community group was that we had equal opportunities at both schools. Now, there are some programs that is really hard to do because of cost of those programs. So what was determined was we would have a couple of differences between Consol and College Station High School. Number one is in athletics in our swimming program. If you swim, you're on the swim team, then we only have a team for that at A&M Consolidated High School. So kids who would go to College Station would have to transfer to Consol if they were on the swim team. The second is what you said is in our career and technical programs. And almost all of them are the same, but upper-level courses, three programs at A&M Consolidated and three at College Station High School are different. In the agricultural sciences area, A&M Consolidated has ag mechanics and animal science, your traditional ag. Mm-hmm. College Station has environmental science, and they also have food processing. They have the meat lab over there.
Okay.
In computer technology, we have computer maintenance tech at A&M Consolidated, while we have construction and architecture at College Station High School. And then we have a big, robust health science program at A&M Consolidated High School. And we have the newest, the culinary arts program at College Station.
Yeah, saw those kiddos cooking the other night, I think.
And they cook a lot for us.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat deal to have. You're not the only school district in Texas that's growing quickly.
No, sir. So
are there some models that you can look at, some things that you've been able to glean from other school districts that have had these challenges?
Well, one of the things we're doing here in College Station is trying to transition from a smaller district to a larger district as we add so many students quickly. Texas adds about 80,000 students a year to Texas public schools. That's like adding Austin ISD every year, and about 80% of those kids go to fast-growth school districts like College Station. So we see the things that are going on in other fast-growth districts like Denton and Leander and Frisco and some of these other larger suburban school districts that are having to add schools as quickly as they are, and we're building and opening five schools in 5 years. We did our third one this year. Our fourth one will be Welborn Middle School next year, and then Riverbend Elementary School in 2019. So that's why we've developed some board policy about managing our enrollment growth. That's why we're looking at our processes for both how we apportion kids and boundary adjustment process.
Well, and then you have to look at bonding. What are the challenges that you see ahead in the next couple of years for bonding?
Well, one of the things with the board's decision to capitalize on available space at A&M Consolidated High School is putting off a need to go to a bond. Right now, we have a little bit over 1,700 kids at A&M Consolidated High School, and as you mentioned earlier, a capacity of about 2,350. So we have some seats available for high school students. We have just under 2,000 students at College Station High School. We are going to be putting some portable buildings out there for next year and then going through the boundary adjustment process to, you know, take advantage of some of the seats that we already have available to do that. In doing so, we have the opportunity to not go to a bond for phase two of College Station High School right away. Phase two would be classroom space for an additional 600 kids, a third gymnasium, and a black box theater. Those are things that Consol has that College Station does not. So having the opportunity to not go to a bond for the next couple of years for phase two of College Station High School, we have the opportunity to conservatively pass along tax reduction to our local citizens. We believe it would be about, over the next 2 years, about 8.3, 8.4 cents of meaningful tax reduction because we've been able to use what we have already and not have to go to bond until we absolutely need to.
He said tax reduction, if you weren't listening. Finally, though, on top of that, we have a governor who said if you go up more than 2.5%, we need to have some sort of an election. What does putting a cap on property taxes do to you as a taxing entity?
Scott, that's the whole nature of tax caps or revenue caps, what we're looking at in a fast-growing community like College Station. It is quite frustrating. We have a great thing going on in College Station with the university and Brazos County and everything we have here. We have so many families moving to this area to be a part of this community. And so the infrastructure that the city has to provide and the county has to provide and the school buildings and the seats for kids that the school district has to provide takes resources to do. And one of the reasons that tax bills keep going higher is because the state is not fully funding public education. They take $4.6 billion for this biennium. $4.6 billion are coming to state general revenue from property wealthy districts to fill in a hole. And that is general fund revenue that can be apportioned anywhere. It can build a bridge. It can go to schools. It can go to prisons. It can go wherever. To the extent that the legislature can more fully fund public education, local taxes can go down. But putting these artificial constraints on especially growing communities like we have in our community put local governments at a real disadvantage. They're trying to deliver services to these new people who are coming to join us every day.
Finally, what would you say to that person who says it's so silly that we have spent time and resources and taken people's time to make a decision and spend $100,000 to change mascots and colors in middle schools?
Well, it's what I would say is that we had a long conversation about this at the board and community level, both in 2016 when we went through the last boundary adjustment process, and then this year as well. Part of the when you get a new school, Scott, Welburn Middle School, they're coming through. They have a great opportunity to develop their own brand and their own excitement around their school. What this has done for our two existing middle schools is given them an opportunity to talk about who they are as a school and develop their brand and develop who they are as a school. Not only is it changing a color and changing a mascot and the basketball uniform, but it's talking about who are we now at A&M Consolidated Middle School? Who are we now at College Station Middle School? What's our vision? What's our mission? What's our purpose? And they've taken this opportunity of branding to really examine who they are. And I think it's really been a positive. If you were at the meeting and you saw Mr. Hadnot and Mr. Mann talk about the process they went through with their kids and with their students, I think it was a real positive experience for them. And the fact of the matter is, we're growing. If you look forward, we're going to have three 6A high schools eventually. Our demographers have told us we're going to build out to about 25,000 students. We're also going to have four to five maybe middle schools and four to five intermediate schools. So there will be a difference between the high school and the middle school. And the logical time to make that break is when we went from two middles and two highs to three middles and two highs. It's kind of where we were in our history. Looking back at the schools and how we have had those feeder patterns, it probably doesn't make sense, but I would submit if you look forward into where we're going to be, especially as we grow into the future and our build-out, this was the perfect time to go through this type of endeavor.
Okay, finally you get your one-minute commercial for College Station Schools.
Gosh, I'd love more than 1 minute.
Yeah, I know.
I guess what I'd like to tell the community about is something we're really excited about, which is Future Family Welcome Night. On Thursday, March the 8th, we will be opening up all of our elementary schools, all of our 9 current elementary schools, and inviting folks to come in and see what we're doing. Great things are going on in College Station ISD. We want them to come in and see our classrooms, our art rooms, our computers, see the technology we use, and they'll have the opportunity to enroll their kids. So if you've thought about coming to schools, you're new to town, or please come by and see us on Thursday, March the 8th.
All right, very good. Clark Ely, Dr. Clark Ely, the superintendent. Thanks for coming in this morning. Look forward to talking to you again sometime soon, okay?